Let us pray. You, O God, are a calming presence in our lives. Enter into this time, a time so quickly filled with lights and songs, signposts for the day to come. Slow us down. Help us to wait even as we rush. Help us to breathe in the midst of times where we can feel overwhelmed and breathless. Give us a portion of your patience to enter into the season before us without trying to jump over it. Work in us and walk through us as we take the time to journey the way of preparation, preparing the world, preparing our hearts, preparing our very selves for the dawn that is surely coming. In the name of the coming Christ, we offer this and all our prayers. Amen. There's a feeling in the air, isn't there? Honestly, it's been there, for the most part, since just after Remembrance Day. Some of the changes have been subtle. Color schemes changing in stores. Familiar treats showing up in the impulse aisle at stores that you usually don't see for the rest of the year. Other changes have been more blunt. Decorated trees. Songs about sleighs and bells. An entire aisle at Costco that's been there since before Halloween. I think the most obvious change for me was leaving one night for a meeting where there was Halloween decorations still in the window and returning to find that the North Pole had shifted and was centered directly in my living room. It's November 19th. It's November 19th, and Christmas is everywhere. Santa's on TV, the digital fireplace channel has been on for longer than I know because I only noticed it last week, but Natalie said it's been there for a while. There's more snow on my window in the form of paper than there has been on the ground yet. I love Christmas. I love the lights, I love the songs and the trees, and I'll be putting cookies and carrots out on Christmas Eve, just like I've been doing for the last 30 years, and getting up at 5 the next day. What I struggle with is that with all the lights and the songs and the trees, we almost miss an entire season between now and the big day. Advent. The season to slow down, to wait, to prepare. But it sometimes feels like we're trying to leapfrog over that season just to get to one day. And I say one day, knowing full well that Christmas is actually 12 days, but people look at me weird when I sing Deck the Halls on December 27th. That's not fair. And that's a whole other sermon. But what's the point, Richard, you might ask? Isn't it good that people want to be in the Christmas mood for 2 months? I mean, people are more generous, more kind, more loving. Yeah, I love that stuff. And really, it would be great if we could be that way all the year time, all throughout the year, rather than just once a year. But that, again, is a sermon for another time. Because today I want to talk to you about waiting. I want to prepare you for the season of preparation because in 2 weeks, Advent 1 will be here. And we're going to be talking about the hope that we have for this season, the hope that we have for that big day. And I want us to mean it. I want us to truly hope for that day. And so I'm thankful for today. Because of the lectionary resource that puts forth that Isaiah reading that Alexis read. Because it gets us in the mindset of preparing, of waiting for the dawn in a world that seems so dark. It's also a good reading because, on the one hand, it gets us thinking about Christmas. Right? Isaiah writes, "But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Christmas, right? The son born, the Prince of Peace. I mean, that's Jesus for we who call ourselves Christians, followers of the way. Our gospel, which is at the top of the bulletin, right under the date, crystallizes this whole idea where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. On the other hand, though, the whole reading, the whole Isaiah reading, starts with a but. The whole Isaiah Sorry, I hear my own children giggling upstairs, and I can't help but giggle a little myself. But, Isaiah says, but. That's what Isaiah 9:1 starts with. But. And that makes me wonder, what's going on before this awesome prophecy about the coming child, this impending Prince of Peace? So I looked at the verses immediately preceding. And I wasn't really surprised by what I found, considering the but that started chapter 9. These are the words in chapter 8, verses 19 and following. You can see why they lead to the big but. Don't giggle. Now, if people say to you, consult ghosts and the familiar spirits that chirp and mutter, should not a people consult their gods and dead on behalf of the living for teaching and for instruction? Surely those who speak like this will have no dawn. They will pass through the land greatly distressed and hungry. When they are hungry, they will be enraged, and they will curse their king and their gods. They will turn their face upwards, or they will look to the earth, but they will see only distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish, Isaiah says. In those verses in the end of chapter 8, we see a pretty dour and gloomy future for the people who hunger and thirst. However, God reaches back through the text of Isaiah 9 with a but to give hope that the Prince of Peace will come, and with him, joy that knows no end. Hope, peace, joy, and love. These are all hallmarks of the Advent season, the season that calls us to prepare our hearts and our lives for the coming Christ. Both in the verses found in chapter 8 and 9, we are called to a time of waiting. Because in a way, it calls us to acknowledge the darkness that is in the world, even as we prepare for the coming dawn, the coming sun. Here in these readings, Isaiah convicts us because we are a people who walk in dark times, in a world that has seen so much tragedy, but we so often walk as though the dawn has already come, that light has prevailed, and that we have no more darkness to walk through. That is why it's so important to go back and look at chapter 8, because it reminds us that before the dawn often comes the deepest of darkness. And as much as we would like to skip over it, we are called to walk through it. But this isn't all gloom and doom talk. Rather, it's meant to orient us to where we are in our world and in our faith. It's also a reminder that as dark as things get, and they can get pretty dark, as dark as things get, as we wait for the dawn, for the coming Christ, God is not absent. Just the opposite. God saturates our lives even more in those days that lead up to the birthing of Christ among us. You know that extra dose of kindness and love that we find throughout the Advent season? I often wonder if it isn't because of all those lights, all of those twinkling and bright lights, that we are more starkly aware of the darkness and pain that is so present in our day-to-day. If that isn't the Holy Spirit pulling us, reminding us that we are one, if that isn't God calling us to bring light to the dark, if that isn't Christ knocking at the door, then I don't know what is. We feel closer to one another at this time because God is moving so much and so quickly to ready us for the day to come. Like the Holy Spirit moving in Mary's womb, the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts, making us keenly aware of our connectedness to one another and to God. All of this ultimately reminds me of one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 130. Now it begins with that heart-clutching verse that says, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord." It's a reminder that even in the deepest of darkness, God cannot be kept at bay. The love of God cannot be kept away from us. But the verse that I'm reminded of today are these. "I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for mourning." More than those who watch for mourning. Does that not capture perfectly Advent? Hurry up and wait. The dawn is coming. But it isn't here yet. And there's still work to be done. Has anybody here ever worked an overnight job? Nurses, I know you have. Anybody else? Come on, folks. You all got to sleep? Well, let me tell you. The reason that I ask about that is because when I was going through my undergrad at UNB, I worked at the Crown as a night auditor. And those were long, long nights. And if there is any good analogy in real life that I could point to Advent with, I would say that it's working overnights. You spend most of your life working in darkness. It's hard. And glimpses of the sun are rare and fleeting. But you do the work. And when the dawn comes, that harbinger of the day ended, you are much more appreciative of the sun. That feeling of yearning for the dawn is amplified when God is the one for whom we yearn. Isaiah makes an amazing promise in our reading today that we see lived out in a time and in a place, in a town called Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. But the thing about prophets is that so long as their words persist, they still have something to say. Isaiah is talking as much to us as he is to anyone, to prepare for a day that is coming. A day that is coming, not one that's gone by. We aren't just celebrating a birthday here. We are readying ourselves and our world for the inbreaking of God into our time and our space once again. But we get jaded, don't we? Every year we say, "This is the year." And while we feel the movement of the Holy Spirit in some pretty amazing and awesome ways, we see no sign that this year is any different from the last. It's still as dark as it ever was. Sometimes it even feels darker. But that's why I use the overnight job as an analogy for the time of waiting and preparing for what lies before us. As long as some of those nights were as dark as they seemed, the dawn always came. Night cannot persist. Darkness cannot overwhelm, because light always comes to scatter the gloom. So in the midst of all your hurrying around in the coming days and weeks, take time to wait. Take time to make ready your hearts to be transformed by the light that no amount of darkness can overcome. Watch for the dawn, yes, because it surely is coming. But until then, we have much to do to prepare the way. Amen.